Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily community meditation, where today we're talking about pockets of prosperity. Pockets of prosperity. I've been thinking about this concept of, this is the name I use for them, pockets of prosperity. Think about the concept of, for example, Silicon Valley. I was having my daughter do a little bit of research just to understand what Silicon Valley is. That's actually where I grew up personally. My parents still live out there. And just do a little bit of research to help her understand where it is that, you know, I grew up and my parents still live. But you got all these big companies that are all congregated in one small area, this pocket of prosperity. I was thinking about recently, we had the local wrestling program at our local high school here. They've got a wrestling club. It's not just the high school, but it goes beyond the high school. And you got all these kids who have become very good wrestlers coming out of one place. And sometimes in life, you get these pockets of prosperity where you might have a swim club or a music place or whatever it is, where all these high level of people are coming out of one place. You have these high levels of skill sets. And how do you create these pockets of prosperity? So I actually have a book. One of my books is called Pockets of Prosperity. And really, the big theme of that book is that the goal of life is not just for ourselves to become individually prosperous, but for us to make the entire community of people around us prosperous as well, to create a community of people that are thriving. And I think it all starts, I think back to the wrestling club that's local here, it all started with one guy. One guy who was a very good coach came into the area and took over the program, and he started to build it up, and it led to something like 15 state championships in a row. I think it might have been more than that. It might have been 17. A number of state championships in a row. And it started with one guy taking over the program and building it from there. And then it begins to grow and it begins to snowball. And you get to this situation where you've got people from different areas of the country that are moving here to our local area, the small town that we live in, to become part of this wrestling program. Nobody's recruiting them. They just see that it's good and they want to move there. They want to go there. And we can create these pockets of prosperity. I think it starts with just one person. One person who will get a vision from God, a dream from God in their heart, of something good, something big they want to accomplish. And let that flow through them and out into the world, out into the people around them and the community of people around them. So we're going to be taking communion over this today, asking for God's help. So why are we taking communion every day? Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance, to make it active and relevant and alive today in this present moment. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until we prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity to pull these spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to pull this new covenant into our mind and remembrance in our soul and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the cracker and the juice, uniting our entire spirit, soul, physical body together, something we can release our faith into. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord. The deep honor and reverence and respect and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus, all that he was willing to go through to give us life and connect us back to God. That God loved us so much, he was willing to send his one and only son so we could have life. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout advice. So I truly believe physical exercise is one of the greatest ways to practice receiving this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us, to practice applying our faith. And then once we understand how to do that, we can apply those same principles into every other area of our lives. So let's get started with our prayer, and then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us and to make your face shine upon us. Let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities today to do good and be a blessing and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so let's talk about the other half of prayer. This is what we talk about. Are we making today a masterpiece? This is a time to examine ourselves. And how are we going to make today a masterpiece? We're going to get connected to the master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God, but our personal relationship with him has got to be brought down into today. It's got to impact the things that we do today, the decisions we make, the things that we speak, the things that we do, our thought patterns. It's got to impact today. That's what we talk about, executing these four fundamentals and bringing some fun and some presence and some energy into the fundamentals today. So our first fundamental, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day we've got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. This is like the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in between. And to take our position in the light, we're going to take our position in humility, humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble that are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to let it flow through us. We're going to forgive ourselves. We're going to stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves. And we're going to let that flow through us to other people, giving them the same love and grace that God has given us. And we're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today, which is one of the greatest expressions of faith. And we're not just going to think about it. We're going to physically embody that gratitude. We're going to speak it. We're going to write it. We're going to feel that gratitude in our body today. And when we get into faith, we're taking our position in Christ, in the light. And God has taken everything he has, and he gave it all to Jesus. He put it all in him because he was worthy and deserving of it. We have this amazing opportunity to be in him today. So this day today, his spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his kingdom, his purpose. We become part of his family, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, you name it, it's all in there in him. So first we're going to receive it. We've got to get positioned in it. We've got to understand what's been made available. We've got to receive that, get in our position. And then we got to get it flowing through us. And that's what we talk about, magnifying the light. Think of this like the dimmer switch on the light. First, we got to turn the lights on. We got to turn the light switch on, but then we can control the brightness of this through what we magnify. To magnify is to make bigger or brighter or greater. We're going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. And this is all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. And when I think of meditation, I think of what are the things that I'm repeating over and over? Repeated things that I'm saying, repeated things that I'm thinking in my mind, that I'm rolling over in my heart. Repeated actions and behaviors that we're doing every day. So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, giving his word a higher place and priority in our lives. Thinking about it, talking about it, studying it diligently. We can magnify his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our right standing in Christ. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives, and he eagerly desires to help us today. We can magnify whatever all these good things that he put within us. Got treasure in jars of clay. Just stay focused on all the things that are going well. Looking back at how far God has already brought us in our lives and meditating on that what he started, he's going to see through to completion. He's going to sustain it. He's going to finish it. And just to stay focused on him. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's choosing to bring them into the light. And we're going to magnify God as bigger than that light. But he does give us the choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, magnifying the size of the issues and problems, bitterness, complaining, unforgiveness, venting about the problems, and just trying to do life on our own rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we got to recognize those symptoms. When we're in darkness, we're positioned in, it might be the tendency to retaliate at people, or we're going to withhold good things that we know to do because they did something we didn't like. We might avoid them or give them the silent treatment and not talk to them. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. On the inside, when we're in darkness, you'll feel this heaviness and weight and pressure, like it's all sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness and helplessness. Powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Feels like you get low energy is another big symptom of this. It's like a black hole that just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry, the dread of the future, confusion about which steps to take or which direction to go. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. We've got his peace and joy and love and spirit and power all begin to flow through us. And now we've got hope in any and every situation. We've got God with us. He just begins to effortlessly set us free. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace that if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it back around. Life is throwing stuff at us every day to try to pull us out of position, to try to get us to focus on the wrong things. If we ever miss it, we ever get off track, it's recognizing those symptoms and then bringing them to God. But start with humility. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. Forgive me, Father. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves, and if we need to take steps to reconcile with another person, we take those steps. Then we just start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love, and then what he put within us is more than enough to handle whatever's coming our way today. And immediately, you'll feel that shift on the inside. The weight will lift off you. Your energy levels will rise up. You'll feel the peace and the joy and the love just begin to wash over you on the inside. Then our third fundamental. We've got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and guide us. We've got to stay tuned into him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. I like to start with gratitude and praise to get my positioning. Then I like to magnify. What went well today? What are all the ways that I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more we will see them. Then I like to ask this question: God, what were you trying to show me today? And just reflect back over the day. And whatever comes into your mind, just begin to write that down. It's very important to get it out of our minds and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in today because he's trying to navigate our path throughout the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. It doesn't take long. Just to slow down, get connected back to him. Then the final thing I'll do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And what I've learned to do is stick with what do I know to do? Because sometimes I was getting ahead of God. I would pray and ask for his leading and direction, but then I wouldn't wait for him to show me. And I would waste a bunch of time doing stuff that it wasn't time for yet and have to redo it. On the other side, sometimes I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. So I've learned, what do I know to do today? And that becomes my plan for today. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day. First thing in the morning, we're going to get connected to him. Connect with him in his word. Start praising him and thanking him and get connected to him. And then we're going to walk out that plan together with him today. With a willing heart, with a good attitude, and full confidence in him. He's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of that confident faith, this grace begins to surge through us. He begins to beautify our lives. He's the source of beauty. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. Let's talk about pockets of prosperity today. I think of a pocket of prosperity as a community of people who are all thriving. Not just one person, but a community of people who are all thriving. And I got a couple concepts to think about here. Number one, it just takes one person. It just takes one person to start a true pocket of prosperity. So we're going to be asking God for help with that today. But another few things that I've learned about this. There's a book, I think it's called The Talent Code. I think the author's name is Daniel Coyle. And he talks about this. He studied all these pockets of prosperity, these hotbeds of talent, like tennis clubs and swimming clubs and all these places where a high number of very high level people were coming out of these little places that you wouldn't expect. And he said the two things that they always had in common were, number one, they always put a high priority on the fundamentals, just practicing the basic fundamentals over and over, even when you're a high level person. Practicing those basic fundamentals. And on the other side, constantly trying to stretch and grow and moving to the next level. This combination of the high level of consistency on the basics, paired with constantly working on the next level and the next set of skills. That balance of the two. And it just takes one person to get this whole thing started. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for you. And we're asking for your help today. Help us to create pockets of prosperity, communities of people who are all thriving together. We're asking for your help with that today. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he told his disciples, "Take it. Let's receive it." Then he makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. Think about it. He was the one person. He's the one that started this whole thing. We're just following in his example here. So, Father, we thank you for this bread. And I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God, this personal relationship with Him. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to remember that. We ask you to bless this cup in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. Health and fitness stuff. Talking about laser focus today. So, a couple days ago, I was just talking about, I felt like God was giving me this prompting. We started talking about wrestling. I was watching the wrestling championships over the last week. Just felt like God was giving us this prompting about wrestling. We talked about in our partner Zoom call the idea of self-control and discipline. And I felt like I gave the example. So if I were going to wrestle, if I was looking at the college wrestling, I'd have to pick a weight class. And right now, just where I am right now, I'm between the 184-pound weight class and the 197-pound weight class. I'm kind of right in between. And I said, if I was going to wrestle at 197, all those guys would be much bigger than me because they're probably cutting down. They probably normally weigh 210 pounds or so, and they're cutting down to 197. So I'd probably have to wrestle at 184. I said, you know what? I'm going to make this decision. I'm going to cut down. Over the next 8 weeks, I'm going to cut down to 184. I'm going to cut down to 184. When I weighed myself that morning, I think I was 194. So I got to cut 10 pounds. Got to cut 10 pounds. And it's interesting. As soon as we get to something we teach all the time in the Abundant Life Blueprint, is that nothing happens until you make a decision. Faith starts with a firm decision, with a commitment. And it's funny because as soon as I made that decision, I decided in my heart, I'm going to do this. And I put it out there where you guys can see it too. It's like this laser level of focus started. And I didn't do anything overly fancy. Just I made the commitment. I made the decision. And now that one decision is impacting all the other little decisions throughout the day. Opportunities to get a little more exercise. Opportunities to move a little more. Opportunities to say no to the little bits of extra food. Like, no, I gotta stay on track. And you get this laser-like focus. And as soon as that started happening, I'm seeing results within one day. Stuff starts moving literally in one day. But as soon as you make that decision and that firm commitment, and you got to get that laser-like focus. But it starts with that firm decision. So my plan is I'm hopefully going to be updating you week by week as we go here as a form of accountability for myself and just to show you the process here as well, hopefully. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.